ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Comic Book Club. Now please welcome to the stage Alex, Justin, and Pete.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And that's our man in the booth, All-Star Boothman.
All-Star Boothman.
He did an All-Star status. Very exciting, very exciting. And now it's just started to feel like spring. The groundhog came out.
Yep.
He saw that spring is coming in just 6 weeks. Very exciting. But Snowmageddon is very close in our minds.
It's so close. It's like it just happened.
Right. It just happened. Yep. And last week on the show, Pete wanted to open the show with a Snowmageddon bit.
A classic Snowmageddon bit.
Yeah, yeah. We got a little bit sidetracked.
We got sidetracked
because right before the show, something else happened where I heard this crazy story about Pete.
I'm setting it up.
Pete going to see a separate movie than Justin on Pete's birthday.
It was
birthday.
The worst first date ever.
No.
Justin at the altar.
Nope.
Nightmare. And we're married, Jedi-wise.
By the way, for those who were wondering, we did find out after the show what the movie was.
Right.
Pete described it as, I don't know, some Oscar shit.
Yeah.
Which we later found out Justin wanted to see Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Which I believe was nominated. The Apes won most of the Ape Oscars that
year.
Yes,
they did. The Apescars, if you will. Pete went to see Hercules.
That's right. I went to see Hercules. That's right.
So the movie
Hercules.
Yep. Yeah. With The Rock.
The Rock wasn't
there. You saw the movie with The Rock?
Yeah. That's why I had to ditch you, because I was meeting.
Oh, man, that's crazy.
I'll give him that.
Yeah.
Cool. Fortunately, nothing crazy happened before today's show.
Right. Nothing crazy happened before today's show.
So we have space for Pete to do his Snowmageddon bit.
Great.
Yeah.
So,
Pete, real quick, I just wanted to ask you a question, real quick. Yeah. You're a big Wolverine fan.
Huge Wolverine fan.
You love Wolverine.
Yes.
All Wolverine?
Every Wolverine thing, other than the death of Wolverine, which you weren't crazy about.
Well, actually, I thought they handled it pretty well. I was ready to hate it.
Wow. What a fan. What a super fan.
Wow. So, with Wolverine being off the boards at Marvel for so long,
right?
You got to be pretty excited about the new title that came out from Marvel this past week, Old Man Logan, number one.
I am not aware of that. Wolverine's been so gone that I haven't even been aware.
You've been focusing so much on Snowmageddon.
Yeah. The bit that I want to do that I'm glad that you guys are going to let me do at the top of the show.
Absolutely. Yeah. You weren't able to do Old Man Logan. In fact, you only found out about Old Man Logan, number one, 10 minutes ago when I pulled it out of Justin's stack, and why didn't you pick this? And you're like, what is that?
Yeah, I didn't know that came out. Yeah.
And then you proceeded to chase me and Justin around the theater.
I wanted to look at the book and see if it was any good, but you wouldn't let me.
All right. Well, I guess we'll have to see what happens. I guess we'll have to see if we review it later.
Yeah, but
where did you hide the book to keep it away from me the whole time before the show?
Where is the book?
I guess we'll have to find out later after we talk to our amazing guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's the host of a new show called Improvention. Great guy,
all around guy.
Yeah, he's the Snowmageddon of comedians. Ladies and gentlemen, Sal Joseph.
Sal Joseph,
come on out,
Sal. Welcome to the show, sir. Great to have you.
How you doing, guys?
Really excited to be here.
Thank you for coming.
Now we were talking about it a little bit before the show. I know you're an improviser, you're a comedian, you're also a comic book fan for a long time. But I always find this very interesting because I went through this myself. You got away from comics for a while.
I did, yeah.
Yeah. Why did you get away from comics for a while?
How did you get away from comics?
When?
How did you escape?
I was probably like 13 or 14 years old. I was still playing a lot of basketball at the time in high school and, stuff got in the way. Yeah, I'm not proud of myself for it. But eventually made my way back right around the time that DC started fresh and I was reading a bunch stuff from Image. The most recent when Scott Snyder's Batman started.
The one coming up in a couple of months.
Yeah.
Terrible. I hate when they do this constantly.
So what drew you in specifically about that? Why was it that this new reboot was the thing that drew you back?
I was never much of a DC guy, but I liked Scott Snyder a lot. Mm. And I heard he was doing Batman. And after, I think it was like 3 or 4 issues in was when I picked it up and started reading it again. And it was... just awesome. The whole Court of Owls story was one of the all-time best.
It's weird to me that you said that, because I also got out of comics for a while, for a couple of years, was also not a DC guy, but it was DC that also drew me back in. I think I've talked about this on the show before.
Yeah. Nope.
But it was the whole countdown.
Classic.
We know each other so well.
Yeah.
It was the whole countdown to Infinite Crisis thing that drew me back in. There was a 99-cent intro issue. I had heard that they had this whole overarching story. I got really into it, and I was like, God damn it, if I pick up this issue, I'm back in.
It ropes you right back in.
Yeah. Were you guys ever...
Do you know how pissed I'm going to be if you have the comic in your shirt this whole time?
Pete, we're trying.
If you're sweating on the comic...
We're trying to have a show.
Are you sweating on the comic?
Pete, the comic may be getting sweated on as we speak.
So we're talking about taking a break from comics. Obviously, you've taken a recent break from Wolverine, but was there any time before now when you took a break from comics?
When I was younger, it wasn't until I moved back to the city that I got really... I was really impressed with all the comic book stores here in the city, and that kind of got me excited about comics again. So I did have a brief break.
I've never taken a break because I'm a real fan.
Oh,
wow.
And you guys are posers.
Oh, that's crazy.
I could finally say that and have a good reason.
That cuts deep.
You went from no comics to picking up some DC comics. What's your habit like now?
I actually have cut back. And when I say cut back, I mean, I'm only ordering from Midtown.com once a month, and it's like a $150 order every month.
It's
still pretty ridiculous. It's still pretty ridiculous. But I've gotten kind of backlogged again, so I have some catching up to do.
Yeah, we're very similar, Sal.
Look at this.
This is great. We're doing our own improvention.
Comic-vention.
Comic-vention.
I don't know. Because I've talked about this the past couple of weeks, but I was out of Marvel.
Just take the comic out of your shirt. I won't touch it if you just... So it's not getting ruined.
Pete, Alex has been doing so many crunches, and he's been working those abs. They are flat as a comic book right now.
I am revealing my feelings here on stage in front of people, Pete.
Nobody cares.
And Jesus.
What a hard ass.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's a break from Marvel. You were on break from Marvel.
I was on a break from Marvel, and I spent the past week spending hundreds of dollars on Marvel comic books to get caught up, but it was totally worth it. There's a bunch of great stuff coming out.
A lot of great books out
there. Did you guys know that?
Yes.
Yeah, I hate to keep saying it, but I've just been powering through all comics for all time.
All right.
Pete, how bad are you? Out of the three of us, at least, you spent the most money a week for like a solid amount of time.
Yeah, for many years.
What was your highest regular ring?
Highest regular
ring? At a comic, like you would go and they would ring you up. Like, what was like the, when you were spending the most money, what was your regular ring?
It was at least 100 and change a week.
That's impressive.
I was with him at the store once.
Yeah, and that's at Midtown Comics, right?
Right, yeah.
Where you get like
that was before the discount.
That was before the discount.
It was back when like you had to spend $100 to get that $20, which was great.
I think they still do that.
In store,
still spend $100 to get $20.
And that's why it's like the best shop.
It's a great deal.
Absolutely.
It's a great
deal.
Ting!
I love Midtown Comics.
Yeah. What were you going to say? You were with me one time. What?
You spent like $200.
Yeah.
I was with him, and he rang up, and I was like $160. That's so much. And he was like,
Pete,
I need bags and boards for all those.
Yeah.
They were like, ching, ching, ching,
my favorite.
They were like, we're having Christmas again this year.
Did you grab everything?
I don't know if you've had any comic experiences with Pete, but my favorite thing was we were working some comic convention. I think it was at New York Comic Con, I want to say. Pete brought a stack of like 40 comics to get graded by Diamond. And they were things like Superman 44 and The Punisher Warzone Special Christmas Special number 5,
which was an amazing comic.
Right, and they weren't even in good shape or anything like that.
But here's the thing. Pete doesn't grade from his wallet; he grades from his heart.
That's right,
and I think that's nice.
Yeah, but you,
I think that's nice. Heart is in his polybag,
but
and
you,
I applaud that.
You pay to get them graded,
right?
Yeah, no, he's a chump, but I think that it's nice that he grades.
Well,
from
if
his
it's
heart.
Graded. then that's it. That's the grade. It can't deteriorate over time.
I don't know a lot about gambling, but you did the equivalent of running around a casino and putting a bet down on every single table.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Something's going to cash in eventually.
If you had to grade the comic that's underneath Alex's shirt right now,
come on, man. Take it out. It's disgusting.
I don't want to dwell on that.
It's so gross.
You're ruining something. What?
Keep going.
I mean, I don't want to say it is or isn't.
Exactly. It's a mystery. It's a real mystery.
Yeah. Why? It's somebody's art and you're destroying it.
I don't know if I'm destroying it so much as marinating it.
You marinating it?
Yeah, it's gross.
He's a sweaty fucking guy.
You suddenly care so much for a comic you didn't even bother picking up.
I didn't know it when we came out.
Look, all I'm saying, Pete, is you were backstage, you were looking at various places, so it could be hidden in any of those places.
It could be anywhere.
I punched you in the stomach and I heard it.
That was his spine breaking. I'll have you know.
That's how strong
he's in incredible pain.
Sal, intervention.
Yes, sir.
It's an improvised intervention?
It is a fully improvised intervention.
Can you do that for Pete?
Yeah. We've been trying for years.
I don't have an improv problem.
I would love to have one for Pete.
Great point.
What's the show?
You would fit in real well.
So tell us how the show works.
Yeah.
So once a month at the People's Improv Theater, I get one of my buddies from the pit, and they're the featured guest for the month, and then I kind of build the cast for that month around that person. I get people that have been on indie teams with them, maybe a couple people from their house team, and then a couple of regulars that are just on the show, you know, whenever I can get them. And we get a suggestion from the audience of what their vice is. It won't be sex or drugs or alcohol because that crap is on TV. It'll be something ridiculous that the crowd comes up with. We've done one for My Little Pony.
Nice.
We've done purple, just purple.
Okay.
We've done magic. The most recent one was snow, and it was just so spectacular. It was great.
Awesome. And when is it again?
The next one is February 16th at 10 o'clock for Robbie Chernow.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Very cool.
And I actually had the pleasure of asking my buddy Pete, and he signed on board to do Robbie's intervention later this month.
Nice. I see how this is coming together.
Is it possible if you do Pete down the line?
Yeah.
I'd like to throw my hat in the ring as a possible guest.
Sure. Yeah, I don't want to say we don't have reams of paper.
I'm going to say when we do an intervention for Pete, you will certainly be a guest.
All right, that's great. Guys, I'm also very excited about our next section, which we like to call the stack. There we go. And in the stack, we like to talk about some comic books that came out this week, go to bat for them, things that we really enjoyed. Let's kick it off with Pete's pick.
Wait. We're talking about the stack. Come on, man. Take it out of your pants.
The stack is right here.
All new, all different Avengers, number 4 from Marvel Comics. I'll pass that over to you.
Pete, love the Avengers.
Pete, what did you like about this book so much?
Well, first of all, it was kind of an interesting perspective. It starts off with kind of a Jarvis perspective, which was very cool. Also, then...
You love those secondary characters.
Yeah, Foggy, Jarvis,
right.
Butler. Or...
And then we got to see kind of a really... I liked Thor in this. Kind of had like a really nice kind of Carpe Diem moment where Thor was like, you know, I feel like kissing Falcon, I'm going to do it. And it was like this really cool moment. And I thought it was very earned and kind of magical and really made me like the book as a whole.
Oh, nice.
That's very nice. Have you ever wanted to kiss a Falcon?
Mm. No. No, but I wouldn't rule it out.
All right.
Carpe diem.
Okay.
Alex, did you like this book? As a recent Marvel convert.
I love Marvel.
Yeah.
Great. All hail Marvel. Mighty Marvel.
Okay. Ease up, dude.
Praise Marvel.
Did you like this?
It was all right.
Oh.
No. I thought it was good. I mean, it's Mark Waid, who's great. And is it Mamoru Asrar does the art?
Yes.
Am I imagining that?
Yes.
Okay.
Nice.
Great art, really fun, but I don't know. It feels light. I think a lot of the stuff that people recommended to me online to get caught up on Marvel were things that are very focused solo titles. Things like Squirrel Girl, that was amazing. Howard the Duck is fantastic. I never thought of picking that up. Bunch of other ones that are those solo titles. Even this Thor solo title, of course, very is good. Fantastic. And this one felt like it's a lark. It's enjoyable, but...
not a lot of substance.
Exactly.
What'd Every once in a while, that's nice.
It's like a little vacation.
Yeah.
From thinking.
With your friends that you actually like.
Oh, you mean those fictional pieces of paper?
Yep. Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
I thought this was pretty good. This was the first issue that felt like a real team book. They have it's a little weird. They have like the older Avengers who feel old and then the younger Avengers that feel very young.
Yeah.
So it's hard to really feel like figure out who you're on board with.
It's it didn't really feel like it was gelling as a team yet, and I understand that's probably the point of this arc. But yeah, I don't know. I like the younger characters. I love seeing Miss Marvel and I guess just Spider-Man, not Ultimate Spider-Man, and Nova all together. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
but I don't know.
I mean, that's what more can you say? The all new, all different. I don't know, Avengers.
Yeah, there we go. All right, let's move on with our next pick. Justin, this was your pick, Southern Bastards, number 13
number
from Image
13.
Comics. Yeah, what'd you think about this?
I don't know if you're reading it. Is anybody reading this comic out there in the crowd? Nobody. Okay.
Oh, man.
What? You all should be. Great. You all should be reading Southern
Bastards. This comic is so, so good. Jason Aaron and Jason Latour are on this. It's about a small town in the South in Alabama where football is like the thing that holds the town together.
Right.
The first 4-issue arc was about a guy who is coming to sort of break the sort of mafia that was running the town. And spoiler, he is soundly, you think he's the main character and some terrible things happen to him. And it's clear that he's not. We sort of, the town is sort of the main character. We're here and it's the big football matchup and it's just, the art is great. It's so rough, gritty. The story's awesome. People are getting beat up. It's an unforgiving comic. Great.
Yeah, it's excellent. I totally agree with everything you said. I know Pete has some ridiculous objection to it, so let's hear it.
Yes. I don't like this comic for a lot of the things that you said.
What?
One of them being it starts off so amazing, and then it says, hey, let's look at some hope that's in this town, some actual light in this dark, racist, shitty, backwards town. And then we're not going to focus on the hope. We're going to sit in the racist, shitty part. And we're going to make this story now. First 4 issues, amazing. Now the last 10 have just been about this racist asshole who should be dead already, but keeps fucking living and killing other amazing people along the way. And you got to sit there and be okay with it. And it's fucking infuriating.
See... I think the feelings that you're feeling are exactly what this comic is intending. Well, I don't think this is a comic that's like, isn't racism catching on?
I'm not saying that.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I'm saying it.
This comic is like, hey, isn't this fucked up?
It is.
Yeah, that's good. You're feeling things. You're alive.
Great.
And that's why this is a good comic.
Yeah, it's not a good comic.
It's a great
comic. It's awful.
It's a very, very good comic.
Justin is absolutely correct. This is also, this is the exact same thing. You've said this for every single issue of Southern Bastards. Since the first couple, it focused on the hero. Since it moved on, you focused
When the fuck are we going to get the girl back?
Yeah, wait. I'm getting to something. This is the same thing.
She showed up at the end of the...
Hold on. You focus on that first thing... to the exception of everything that happened since. You've done the same thing with Punisher when he got turned into Frankencastle. You've done the same thing with Spider-Man since he sold his marriage to Mephisto.
You focus on
things that happened at the beginning rather than the things that have been going on since.
Yeah.
You get hooked into one thing that's happening. One thing. Absolutely just one thing that's happening.
Tapping the fucking...
You just tapped the fucking comic, you sweaty son of a bitch.
I'm focusing on things that happened a long time ago, and instead focus on the things that are happening now.
Live in the present, Pete.
No.
What if, say you're a kid, you're watching Star Wars,
right?
And Darth Vader walks up and Princess Leia's like, fuck you, and stabs him right in the back.
Wouldn't that be great?
No, that'd be terrible.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
It's a short film.
great. We can focus on other things. Let's talk about Han and Chewie on other
on
stuff.
Other
there's other things. Let's get the bad guy out of the way.
You want to just see people chill?
Yeah.
All right. Sal, what did you think about
you're seeing it. All cards on the table. I did not read issue 13 because I'm about four issues back and I didn't want to spoil anything for myself.
But well, we haven't spoiled the bigger.
Yeah, you didn't, so. And I appreciate that. It is a, contrary to what my friend Pete says, it is a great comic. It is unrelenting and mean. And
you guys
I mean,
all
I think it's
racism.
I don't, but saying. It is. I mean, I love this comic, and I love Jason Aaron. Everything he writes, I would love to read.
He is amazing. The art's amazing. It's infuriating that the bad guy keeps fucking winning.
But when he finally gets it, like it's going to be one of the most satisfying moments in any comic that I read. I hope he's such a prick.
I hope you don't read the news if you're worried about the bad guy.
I don't.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah, right. Yeah, don't. Stay away from it because it's cool. Fucked up. Yeah.
All right, let's move on with my pick, Cry Havoc, number one from Image Comics. Also,
nice.
Also in addition to Southern Bastards, which is from Image Comics. Did anybody pick this up?
Yeah. I doubt it.
All right. The short pitch is it's about a lesbian werewolf, but not really. But also, it's
about
the war.
Where did you get that from?
That's in the content of the book.
It is not. It is not. Just because a woman sits on a bench with another woman doesn't mean she's a lesbian.
That is accurate. But maybe your ability to sense the relationship in this comic isn't as strong. And I will also say the promo for this book was...
I didn't read the promo.
Well, the promo said, it's sort of about a lesbian werewolf. No, it's not. Yes, it is. Honestly, if you read the promo for this, it's something to that effect.
Exactly. This book was great. There was a lot of hype for it, so I was a little trepidatious going into it, but there's a lot of stuff in here. It feels like a really packed first issue. You get to meet this main character that's been sort of turned into a werewolf, but not. There's different rules, of course, of the world that are revealed. There's this whole... What?
None of that's in the fucking book.
What are you talking about?
She goes to a park bench, sits down, a lady joins her. They talk about a sandwich. They look at a caged wolf. Then they're on a plane and a helicopter going to a war. None of that shit that you said was actually in the comic.
So hold on a second. There's some time jumping in this. So, like, when they're at the park bench, it's a different place than where the cage is.
Right. You can tell because there's different art, and it says this is a different time in the comic book.
Right.
I feel like we're being a little harsh on Pete. It's almost like we're...
It's almost like we're
popping our claws and stabbing him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? When we shouldn't do that. No surprises for
people. We're just a bunch of old men.
Yeah, exactly.
Logging onto the internet.
All right. Come on already.
What? Is it time for the next section? Should we move on to audience questions?
Sure, let's move on.
All right, that's it for the stand.
Yeah.
All right, guys. It's time.
Is everything all right?
Step up a little slow. Is there something wrong with
you? Everything all right with you?
What?
You're moving a little.
I hurt my leg, probably.
Probably. Yeah. That makes sense.
Are you going to sit this whole show with that fucking thing sweating underneath your shirt?
Pete.
Wouldn't it be funny if we just never knew?
Oh, man.
It'd be like a mystery we could take.
I'm
going
to murder him. I can't take this.
Yeah, no, that would be like Pulp Fiction. That's a popular movie. So
what's
I feel
in the
like
box?
Yeah, people like Pulp Fiction, right?
What's in the fucking box?
What? What's in the box?
Guys, this went on for 5 minutes backstage.
Yeah, a lot of touch and grab. Alex is holding his belly like a pregnant woman.
That is so gross.
I'm gonna say near mint.
Yeah.
You ruined a comic book. You ruined it.
It is near mint. It was also near dick.
I had to get it really far down there.
Oh, my God. You are sweating.
Oh.
Anyway, Pete, this comic's great. You should give it a read. It's
Now do you want to read it?
Yeah, you continue with the show.
You're going to casually read a sweaty comic?
Yep.
That was touching my dick. It wasn't touching my dick.
Do we want to talk about this comic?
Yeah, let's talk about this comic.
Spoilers.
Real quick, Pete, I know you're not quite done with it yet. It ends with Logan deciding to kill the Hulk. That's the last page.
What?
Yeah, that's the last page.
We're straight up punishing people.
What did you think about this book? I actually really liked it a lot.
Me too, and it's dark as fuck. Like, it's very...
Holy shit.
Yeah. So the short story here is that...
What the fuck?
Old Man Logan... Isn't it nice to see Pete read a comic?
Oh, man.
What a window into your life this
man.
Is.
Are you serious?
See, that's the emotional
fuck
roller coaster
no.
he goes on 12 times a week.
You're being very generous for $160.
Oh, yeah, true. So Old Man Logan is from this alternate dimension future where he killed all the X-Men. He comes back to the real modern world, and he's going to...
Why is he naked?
You know what? Nobody knows.
You can't. It's time travel. You can't time travel with clothes.
The clothes don't time travel.
Right, right. We all
Everybody
know that.
Haven't you
that.
Seen the Terminator?
Terminator show does that.
Terminator.
Terminator Genesis.
Yeah, that's right. The only real Terminator.
Yeah.
Just kidding. And so Old Man Logan is trying to kill the people so that that wronged him in the future so that his future doesn't come to pass. And he, like, just kills a guy who's like, I didn't do anything to you. Who are you? And it's sort of intense.
Yeah. We also get
this
flash
is really
forwards,
fucking intense.
Thank you. Flash forwards, flashbacks, I don't know, whatever you want to call them, with him and his son. They're super sad.
Yeah.
It's great. I don't know what I was expecting out of this comic book, but it is so much better than that.
And the art's great. It has sort of a salty, sweaty thing to it. You know? Yeah. It's really good.
Yeah, it's real rich with flavor.
It's rich. It sort of smells
like... Yeah, you can see that there's like spots of sweat on the front.
Yeah, like I love that raw, edgy look.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's great. Cool, that's it for the stats!
Yeah!
All right, we're going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions! Pete, what'd you think?
What?
What'd you think, Pete?
It's pretty intense. I can't believe you ruined it. That's fucking bullshit.
Still enjoyed it.
I'll buy Justin a new copy.
That's right.
Oh, the rest of your comics are down my pants as well. Just real quick. So for audience questions, we're going out to you guys. They can be about literally anything. They can be for our amazing guest here. They can be for our amazing hosts here. Absolutely everybody. Anything nerdy, romance advice, whatever you want to do. And you're going to get some free comics and free posters from modhero.com. So that's pretty exciting. All right, so let's get those questions. Hands up, please. Absolutely. You, sir, right on the front. All right, what's your name, sir?
Hey, Paul.
All right, Paul, what's your question?
Paul. It's starting to look more and more likely that DC Rebirth is going to be an actual reboot and not some kind of, you know, Zatanna relaunch or something. What do you think it is about DC and Warner Brothers that they keep changing direction like this?
Well, I think...
Interesting question.
I don't know. Money, probably. I mean, that's the actual
money.
Answer. Yeah. I think as far as I've been able to tell, it's not like... They're wiping the slate clean. They're not having a crisis and starting everybody from zero, but they are doing what they did with the DCU stuff. Like my impression is I'd equate it more with that, where it's new creative teams, new artistic directions. They might be telling a new story about the characters, and I actually think that's okay in a certain way. I don't know how much Valiant stuff you guys read, but I feel like that's something that Valiant is leading the industry on, where they'll have... a storyteller and an artist, they'll tell the story, and then that title is done. And that's it. Like, it goes 12 issues, it goes 8 issues, it goes 24 issues, however long they need to tell the story, and then they finish it off and then tell the next chapter in the character's story. So there's mostly always an Archer and Armstrong book going on, mostly always a Bloodshot book going on, mostly always a Shadow Man book going on, but they take different forms each time. And I think, if anything, my guess would be that's what DC is picking up on, and I think... In this case, if that is what it actually is, what they're showing is foresight more than anything.
Oh.
I don't know. That kind of feels just... I hope that's true, because from the outside, it looks like, oh, let's just restart. Let's just get some new guys on something and tell it again. Because it seems annoying as shit from the outside. And I hope that's not... I don't know if, like, number one, sell more, and that's why they always want to reset it or what. But
they
like,
do. Yeah.
It's... You know, I don't want to always see the Aquaman origin again and then always see the...
Well, what if it's the ultimate reboot and they're going to take the characters back to babies?
which is
Rebirth.
You know, if you look at Muppet Babies, that's the real. Yeah. You know, that's
and
where the
I
money is.
I think we're always looking at Muppet Babies.
Who in that scenario? Who's nanny? Is that Dan DiDio?
Yeah, they're going to put his calves in the book.
Yeah.
Okay, you babies, settle down now.
Yeah.
I would like to say. Sal was nice enough to donate from his personal comic book collection. You've got a signed Paper Girls number one by Brian K. Vaughan.
It's number two. It's still good, though. It's still good.
Fuck you. You got screwed over. No, that's amazing. Thank you.
That is very nice.
I have a question for you guys. So the original rumor was that the DC Rebirth was going to take its cues a little bit from TV and movies. Hmm. What do you think about that? Apparently they moved on from that. That's not the actual idea.
Thank God.
Maybe some of the titles will be the same. Like, there's a Man of Steel book, or the Green Lantern Corps will be a book because that's a movie coming up. That sort of thing.
Right.
Batman v Superman is a book. I don't know.
Yeah, the Dawn of Justice.
Yeah, Dawn of Justice, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. Well, what do you guys think about that idea?
I think that's a bad. The comic book fan base wants. I think we all want our comics to keep going and to have it. And then the movies are sort of like. Oh, we'll go
bonus.
See that as well.
Yeah.
To have it be retroactive, like when the characters start to look like the actors, that's when I'm like, that's not. I read this years ago when I imagined the characters moving and acting and being the way they are, and now to have to apply, you know, the people from The Flash who maybe aren't. The greatest actors in the world.
Oh, come on.
I don't want to say they're
not. Come on.
I don't want to say
they're.
Come on. I don't know how much classical training they have.
Fair statement.
But what I'm saying.
Yeah, one guy loves it.
Yeah. That's Grant Gustin right there. He's like, we're not that great. All right.
Don't hurt his feelings.
He's actually pretty good.
He's fragile.
Yeah. He's so tiny.
Yes.
So I'm saying I like to have, and let the artist interpret the characters a little bit. That's interesting to see a new interpretation rather than being like, oh, they have to make it look. We don't, like, Greg Land's art is good, but all of the women he draws are sort of alike, and they're always sticking their tongues out. And I don't understand, I don't need to see every character be that way.
I don't know how that got on Greg Land, but cool.
His characters always look like, I feel like he bases a lot of his characters on actors and tries to mimic them.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So well, it's porn actors that he bases it on.
Even better. What? Why do? Did he say that in an interview?
No, there's a lot of scans online where it's like, here's a picture of a porn actor that he clearly traced and put.
So you're saying that guy's life is watching porno and drawing it?
And drawing comic books, yeah.
Weird. That I will enjoy his work slightly less.
Yeah, he lives in Florida. If that helps.
No, I know. Of course, I would assume that.
Yeah. Well, let me just to continue this discussion, and I know we'll get to another question in a section, but I'm just curious because I do think about this a lot. So imagine I watch Supergirl on CBS. I love Supergirl on CBS. I'm like, oh man, this is the best comic book. This is the best show. I want to read some of the comic books. I'm like, okay, give me some Supergirl comic books. And they're like, we don't make any right now. And you're like, okay, well, can I read some? And they're like, sure, here you go. And it's an entirely different character who wears an entirely different costume, is sort of evil, and has nothing to do with the show. Mm. Do you feel like, as a fan of the show, I read that, then I'm kind of turned off in a certain way?
I mean, that does make sense.
I mean, when you put it like that, yeah.
Yeah. And I will mention... Let's say I walk into a comic book store and somebody kicks me in the nuts and steals all my money.
Am I going to
want to go into that store again?
Another great point. Are these scenarios?
Yeah.
Is there a murder?
It used to be audience questions. Not like I have a point to make.
I'm just saying I've had a really rough week.
Okay. Yeah.
Our next section, Alex has a point to make.
Yeah.
Going to turn it over to Alex. I do see your point, but they've always done that by having a separate book that is based on... CBS.
Sure. They have the digital comic book Adventures of Supergirl written by Sterling Gates that's running right now. It's digital. It's awesome. You should definitely check it out. So my point was stupid.
Oh, great. So you're a big Supergirl fan, though.
We get it. You like Supergirl.
My point was I really like Supergirl. Do you guys like me now?
Watch CBS.
All right. Let's get another question. You're going to get some free comics. Anybody in the audience? You, sir, right over there. Can you come on up? Whoever you are, whatever your name is. I don't know who you are or where you're from
or
what you did. Hey, what's your name, Chris?
My name's Chris.
Hi, Chris.
What's your question, Chris?
How do you guys feel about Deadpool and all the funny superhero movies coming out, like Ant-Man and that kind of thing?
Nice.
Oh, I don't like them. I like them grim and gritty.
I'll tell you what. I wish Ant-Man wasn't that funny.
What?
Ant-Man should have been funny.
Was pretty funny.
Sorry, do you wish that Ant-Man wasn't that funny or it wasn't that funny?
It wasn't that funny. It should have been funnier. It was billed as like the fun, wacky comic book movie, and it was so...
Was it billed like that?
It was initially.
I thought Guardians was billed like that. Every trailer I saw was like a little... I was like... every time I saw a trailer, I was like, I'm not sure. Because they kept having different themes where it was like, okay, at first you think Ant-Man's hilarious, this is going to be funny, but then it was like, oh, that was kind of serious.
That's my problem.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy was funnier than Ant-Man. Yeah. I think Deadpool so. Looks like it will be pretty funny.
Oh, cannot wait.
I hope it's good.
Yeah. It's going to be great. We're all, Pete, me, and Justin are all going to go see it opening day together.
That's true.
I will never see a movie with you guys again.
What?
What? Never.
Never
you
again?
You two are the worst people to see a movie with.
Pete, we talked about this last week. We made a date. I'm confirming the date this week, which is a polite thing to do.
No way.
February 12th, we're all taking the day off work.
You guys go to that movie theater. I'll be there.
Is that you smoking a joint?
Yeah. I'll be there I'll smoking be there. A joint.
I was saying A-OK. What the fuck?
I've been fooled in this way before, so
yeah.
He may claim to be
going
to.
All right, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we will.
But I'm excited about Deadpool. I didn't care for a long time, and the more I see of it, the more I think it's going to be pretty good.
Yeah. I think Reynolds is so dedicated to it, too. Like, yeah. He really earned this movie. He's wanted it for... Yeah. When did the first crappy Wolverine solo movie come out? Like, 10 years ago? He's wanted it since then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he took a very small part in that movie. Yeah. Just so he could
you
have
guys, we got to do this for Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah!
That guy needs a
We have to bring him back, you guys. Yeah. Bring him back.
He doesn't have anything otherwise. Just his stunningly gorgeous wife, his beautiful child, his $45 million net worth. Nothing else. That's it.
Whoa.
Well,
and geez. Green Lantern hanging over his head is a thing that he made.
I like Green Lantern. So.
Oh, that's oh,
God.
So,
wow. Alex has a point to make.
Yeah.
All right. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get another question. Anybody in the audience? Anybody at all? I see a bunch of people all the way in the back. Yes, you, sir. You have a question. Come on up. All right. You can do it. Just a couple of stairs. I believe in you. Come on.
Real struggle.
You're coming. You're doing it. All right. What's your name, sir?
David.
All right, hey, David. What's your question?
Hey, David.
What do you guys think about all the changes of the superheroes, like how they're making girls and like black people and shit? Batwoman is like a lesbian now, right? Is she still a lesbian? Last time I looked, she was like a lesbian.
Wait, who?
Batwoman or Batgirl or whatever.
Batwoman.
Batwoman, yes.
Yeah, she was.
Like, well, there was that issue where Batwoman was sitting on a bench with somebody, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Total lesbian. Yeah, total lesbian.
That, and do you think they should, like, when they make the TV shows, do you think they should also incorporate that?
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
I think, I mean, so much of it has been so good. I feel like comics have gone through a phase where there was just every character was just white except for Black Panther and Luke Cage. And Black Lightning, but he was like, Black's in his name, so it's like, fucked up. And then they were like, oh, this person's gay. And everyone was like, all right, we get it, like, relax. And now we're in the phase where it's like, oh, this is a character, and these are the qualities of that character.
Right.
So I feel like it is good, and we're moving into
We're getting
into
there.
This,
it's not great yet. It's not, you know, we're not all the way there, but I feel like it is, they're working to make it better.
Yeah, I feel like when you do this sort of stuff, it has to be a pendulum, right? That you push so far in the opposite direction that it swings back, and when it swings back, it doesn't quite swing back as far. So you do Marvel right now. What?
I don't know. I don't understand.
Okay, so Marvel right now has gone from being like, look, we added one character of a diverse background to our comic books to literally every single character has an entirely different background, different color, different race, different religion, different sexuality, etc. It's almost all across the board. So they got to go that far so that when they come back to normal, it doesn't rest at the previous normal. It rests at a place a little beyond that. That's what I'm saying.
Well, that makes sense.
Pendulum.
Yeah.
And as far
I thought the pendulum was like, we have to get like super racist before we can come back.
What is
like,
your
it's
thing?
It's gotta get like really fucked up. Like really, because we haven't gone that far. And then, that's right.
Alex is always pushing for more racist comics. Yeah.
That's why I love Southern Bastards.
Yeah. He was cheering
love it right
so
now.
Hard.
Like, teach me your racism.
Teach me your racism. And as far as moving that into the movies and TV shows, I think that's even like, that's going to take even more time for them to be like, oh, these characters can be different in the more mass marketed version of these characters.
I will say that I think, I know you're not the biggest fan of the Flash cast, but Rappaport Casting, that casts most of those shows, does a great job of doing colorblind casting.
Yeah.
You look at, particularly the Flash, I think you have characters, you know, eventually they got to a point where Cisco was like, hey, I have kind of a Spanish background, but they've barely referred to it otherwise. It's part of who he is, but it's not the dominant theme of his character like we're talking about. Same with the Wests. They just are who they are. And same with a lot of those other DC shows where they just cast the best actors for the roles. And I think that's pushing it in a different way.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, there you go.
Cool. All right. If only they acted just a little better across the board.
All right, you got some free comics. I think we have one more.
Yeah.
One more. All right, let's get one more question. Oh, you, sir, right over there.
This bit has not gotten old yet.
Do you want to come closer? Hi. All right. What's your name, sir?
Hey, it's Rolando.
Oh, hey, Rolando. What's going on?
What's up?
Good. Just ask a normal question, and I won't rag on you at all. Yeah, super, super simple and straightforward. Jeez, so
just
go ahead. What's your
already,
question?
You
It actually is simple. What superhero character needs an intervention and what for? And not counting Tony Stark in alcohol.
Needs an intervention.
Fucking chandering much. Jesus Christ.
Nice. Why are you mad at him?
I love that.
Pandering to our fucking guest.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Alex, we're supposed to do that.
Yeah, we're supposed to. That's kind of our job.
All right.
Sally, have an answer? To do
it. I mean, Hulk clearly has some anger issues.
That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
Jesus, what's done?
It's fine.
Pete was channeling his inner Hulk.
I wouldn't be the only one speaking up on that, okay?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You really thought?
Nobody else thinks he's okay.
I think there's a few. I don't want to irk Pete anymore, but Wolverine could probably have one for those same exact reasons.
You guys,
the angry characters.
You do seem to love the angry ones.
I do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's list them: Wolverine, Hulk, Punisher. Oh God. Oh no. Yeah.
Wait, why do you like Foggy then? Foggy Nelson.
Because he's just a great guy who deserves to get recognized for his greatness.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
So if you had to choose between Punisher or reading Punisher comics or Foggy comics for the rest of your life.
Well, Foggy doesn't have his own comic. It's part of the Daredevil
let's say
team.
He did.
I don't know. It'd be fun. I'll check it out. Give it a whirl. Good enough writer. I mean, come
pretty
on.
Pretty glowing review.
Cool.
I mean, Galactus has an eating problem.
He does.
I think we can all agree with that.
A bit too
that
hungry.
That dude just needs to slow down, like more vegetables.
Yeah.
Less planets. So there's that for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love most of all, and keeping with it coming out on the 12th, I'd love to have one with Deadpool because he's got so many problems.
Right. Yeah. He talks to, he can break the fourth
wall. He would break the fourth wall and start talking to my crowd.
If you fix Deadpool, then he wouldn't be so great, you know?
That's true.
I mean, these issues make them also awesome.
Obviously, Spider-Man needs a marriage counselor.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Something to get that going hard.
And maybe Captain America. He's not really racist enough, so it'd be nice to have an intervention about
that's
that
a, great
a little
point.
Bit. That'd be good. Really, really get under his skin about it. Cool. That's Thank you for your questions. Yes. We did it. All right, guys. It's time for our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah, we do.
And to the Week in Geek, we're talking about a bunch of TV shows that came out this week. Very exciting.
Nice.
Everybody loves the TV shows. Pete.
Yes.
You've watched all of them.
I have.
So real quick, let's get your opinion on everything, okay?
Okay.
All right. The Flash. What did you think about The Flash this week?
Very upsetting. The way he treated that very nice lady was disgusting.
Patty Spivot.
Yeah. Couldn't believe it. She had to call him. Like, he should have ran to that train to say that he's sorry for the way he treated her. Instead, he didn't. And then she had to call.
And it's easy for him to run.
Yeah. Very easy.
Yeah.
Takes no time at all. He could have just done
it's
that.
Like sending an email.
He could have redeemed his whole thing, but no.
So the rest of the episode where he fought the Reverse Flash and we find out maybe who Zoom is and all the things with all the other characters didn't matter. He just
that's side fodder. for the relationship.
Relationship. I got to say, The Flash, I mean, I'm not trying to say that I'm like negative, anti The Flash, but that show is using time travel like they don't know. They've never seen another. Like, they've never even heard of time travel. They're like, he doesn't know him now. Or like, no, he's vanishing, but the other people are fine.
Yeah. I have a soft spot for The Flash in general.
Clearly.
And I love the first season so much. But there is my one problem with The Flash, both in the comics and the TV show, is when they're like, I don't know, maybe the Speed Force something.
Yeah.
Like, their explanation for, wait, how did the Reverse Flash survive? They're like, I don't know, maybe he was in the Speed Force?
Yeah, he was in a...
Shut up!
Speed Force bubble that protected him.
Yeah, shut up, science.
And also, the first season was like, Flash, you have to run faster.
Yeah.
And this season they're like, Flash, you gotta run faster. Even faster. And I think that's shitty.
Yeah.
Because it's all, we're not clocking him.
Yeah, they did a really good job at the beginning of the season of having Jay Garrick teach him all these different powers, different ways of using his powers. And I feel like you're exactly right that they've just gone back into run as fast as you possibly can. Yeah. And that's it. All right, let's talk about Supergirl. What's going on in Supergirl, Pete?
Oh, man, Supergirl has been fantastic. I really love the kind of... stuff that where you kind of had this fun sister relationship, but also like the fact that she is coming into her own as a superhero, and it's just a really kind of nice take on it where it's not too heavy-handed, and she still kind of struggles with why am I doing this day job, but then like they do a good job of having an important part of who she is.
So all the stuff with White Martians and Bizarro and whatever, you don't care about that?
No, I mean that's great. I mean,
but that's side fodder.
When it's revealed who Martian Manhunter is, that was amazing. It made it such a better show.
He watches with his heart.
Oh, wow. It's amazing. What about Agent Carter? You watching that with your heart?
Yes.
You are watching everything.
I am. I'm watching everything. I'm even watching The Magicians, which is really good.
Not a comic book show.
Well, yeah.
Is it cool?
It's great, yeah. But I'm really happy because Agent Carter, the first season...
Have you read The Magicians books? They're really good.
No, I haven't.
You should read the books.
The first season of Agent Carter to me was a little maddening because every episode was like... Men are horrible, which I understand that yes, it's very true. I can get it. But, like, it was so maddening because every episode, it was just the same thing. She kept running into the same problem. Where this, it's in the second season, we've evolved past that. People are giving her the credit that she's due. She's recognized for all the amazing things that she contributes. And it's nice that she doesn't have to hide and pretend to be, I'm just a girl, you know.
So, all the stuff with Madame Mask and, like, her boyfriend dying, but maybe not dying and maybe being invisible and all that stuff, you're not into that?
That's all great.
Okay, but side fodder.
Yeah. Okay. I love all that. Checking.
It's interesting. Maybe you should watch like soap operas. Because all the comic book stuff, you seem to find sort of ignorable.
No, I mean, I love all that. I mean, that's a given. I'm already into all that. But this extra stuff is kind of enjoyable as well.
Characters talking to each other.
Extra stuff?
Yeah.
That's called drama.
Right. Character motivation.
I mean, I could just sit there, watch The Flash, fight people, and be like, this is a great show.
You should read some Shakespeare.
I don't know if I get it.
Same thing.
Really?
Yeah, except there's no pictures.
Boo.
There's sometimes pictures.
Very rarely. Only if you go to a play.
Yeah. You should watch Leonardo DiCaprio's Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, nice. Is that what they retitled then? Yep. Used to be Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet. I've been watching Agent Carter, and I like it as well.
Oh, congratulations.
The Madame Mask stuff is very cool.
Yeah? Cool. What about Lucifer? Pete, you've been watching Lucifer?
Lucifer's great,
right? Did you get laid off or something?
What?
Everyone's applauding the fact that you must not do anything.
Sad. So,
I haven't watched this. Tell me.
It's a great show. It's a fun twist where you think Lucifer's going to be this guy who hates everybody, wants to kill everybody, but he's actually trying to do good a little bit. And it's a fun kind of like, here's a bad guy who actually likes doing good things.
Wow. Does he do it like slightly against his will? He's like a little rakishly mean. Does he solve a crime every episode?
It kind of does.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It kind of does.
You're like a parent telling his son, like, did you finish the book? And what is Treasure Island about?
He is.
Yeah.
Cool. It is.
Yeah. Cool. And last one, I think, is...
There's no other program on
television. Oh, no, there's no other program.
There's Arrow,
and
motherfuckers.
That's it for the week again.
Love that bit.
All right, guys.
What a fun bit.
It's a fun
bit.
We're
going to move on to with our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn over to Pete LePage.
All right. Beepage. Yeah. All right, guys. This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics, because if you had $25, you go to a comic book shop. Who would like $25? Simple raising of the hand. Yes, you first hand up, guy.
Come on up.
Come on down. First hand up, guy. Sir, what is your name?
Curtis.
Curtis, audience, Curtis.
Nice.
Yeah, Curtis.
Hey, Curtis. Great to see you. So, how this is going to work, I'm going to read you a question, listen to all three possible answers, get all three questions right. $25 is yours.
Sounds good.
All right, so in honor of the pictures taken on the set of Guardians of the Galaxy 2, we're going to do some Guardians of the Galaxy trivia on the comic, though.
Ooh.
Not the movie. All right.
Tricky, tricky.
Question number one. The first appearance, wow, I'm not even drinking. The first appearance of Guardians of the Galaxy was in what comic? Is it A, Marvel Superheroes number 18, Marvel Spotlight number 20, or is it C, Awesome Mix Volume 1? So it's either A, which is the correct answer, or it's B.
I'm going to go with A.
A is correct.
Yeah.
Came out in 1969. Who has not been a Guardian of the Galaxy? Is it A, Mantis, B, Moondragon, or C, Glenn Close? I'm not going to give you a hint on this because one of them is a real person. So it's A, B, or C.
I'm going to go with C.
C, yes!
Nice!
Great job! Who has not been the leader of Guardian of the Galaxy? Guardians of the Galaxy. Is it A, Star-Lord, B, Rocket Raccoon, or C, Rob Zombie? So... A, B, or C?
There's a lot of C today.
Yeah! There you go! Rocket Raccoon, the current leader.
Unbelievable. Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Great store. Definitely go there. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Paper Girls number 5 is coming out. I've really enjoyed this. Also, Shudder number 18.
Nice.
Cool. Anything about them in particular?
No. You ask me every time, and I just say they're enjoyable. You should check them out.
Okay. What a salesman.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to Providence number 7. It's this Alan Moore book that is super creepy. It's about a guy who's a reporter who's writing a book about a lot of sort of demonic or I don't know. We haven't really found out what it is. And he goes to this area, small towns, and a bunch of fucked up stuff starts happening. So good. So creepy. The art's great. Very good.
Who's putting that out?
It's not IDW. It's... It's not Image. It's further down the distribution list.
Cool. I'm looking forward to Mystery Girl number 3 from Dark Horse Comics. This is a new book by Paul Tobin. I don't know if you guys have been checking it out. But it's about this woman who can solve any mystery as long as she knows it's a mystery. That as soon as you tell her it's a mystery, she's like, oh, I know the answer and the solution to that. And she ends up on this trail of this... mammoth that's been frozen in the tundra forever, but there's some deeper stuff going on with some guys trying to kill her friends. It's really a lot of fun and builds off of that basic weird concept and blows it out in ways you wouldn't expect. So really cool. Sal, what are you looking forward to?
Well, to harp on what Pete said, Paper Girls is incredible. Brian K. Vaughan is an outrageously good writer. But if you're looking for a comic and you just want the most gorgeous artwork you've ever seen, Pretty Deadly number 8 comes out this week. Emma Rios, I believe, is the lead artist. And I mean, the story, I read the first 6 issues of it. I have to read 7 and obviously 8 tomorrow. It's one of the most confusing stories I've ever read in comics.
Yeah.
But God, is it pretty to look at. It is outrageously good. And then Nailbiter number 20, supposedly major character death coming.
So. Uh-oh.
on. Mm. And plug your stuff again. What should people check out?
Oh, every Monday night at 7:25-ish, I'm on a house team called Without Provocation at the People's Improv Theater. And then it's usually the third Tuesday of every month at 10 o'clock is Improvention, also at the People's Improv Theater. We're going through June and then hopefully longer after that.
Cool. All right. Nice. Very cool. A couple of things before we go. This show is free, both live and on the internet. But if you would like to donate a couple of bucks, if you're here in the theater, there's a hat right by the side. You can drop some in at the end. If you're listening online, go to our GoFundMe page, Comic Book Club Live, and donate a couple of bucks there. It would really help it out, and we'd appreciate it. Next week, as mentioned, Deadpool's coming out. So we're celebrating it by having frequent Deadpool artist Riley Brown is going to be on the show.
Yeah.
One of our favorite guys to have here. So that should be pretty exciting. A couple of other things to plug. Pete.
I wanted to plug real quick. I'm doing a one-man show at the Pit, not this space, but the other theater, February 18th, 19th, and 20th at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
Please come check it out.
I will definitely be there.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Also, friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com, Nerdist.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank our fabulous interns, Iman Bell, Tom Dar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, and Riley Trahan. We want to thank Sal for being on the show.
So, thanks for having me, guys.
We want to thank All-Star Booth
All-Star Booth Man.
But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here at the Pit Loft in New York City every Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. Totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks, thanks everybody. Gem of the